Hey, I'm Chris. I'm a CTO at Reddit. I was also the first employee, so if I don't know the answer to a question, I will make something up that sounds very plausible.
I'm Lisa Liebig. I'm one of the community managers at Reddit. I've been there for about 5 years, and I have all sorts of stories to tell.
And in that outfit, that is a terrifying thing to say. I'm Christine. I'm also a community manager at Reddit. I've been at Reddit for about 3 years. I've been in community management for about 20 years, which, God, that really dates me in a lot of ways.
As well as working at Reddit, I've worked at Wikipedia. My very first online community was a very small comic strip called User Friendly, if anybody remembers. I see some nods, that makes me happy. Also, just for more of my background, is I have a master's degree in applied anthropology, focusing specifically on online communities and specifically LiveJournal. If anyone remembers LiveJournal, see, okay, these are my people. I knew the DragonCon was my people.
These are the people who chose to come to a panel rather than to a dance party.
So you are 100% my
people. The dance party is loud and it's really, really hot and you can sit down in here.
It's actually cool in here.
This is great. This is nice. I'm comfortable.
And we're just going to have a fun little discussion about Reddit, and I'm here for it. I'm here for it.
Well, it's a good thing you're here for, because you're supposed to be here for it.
I tried to get out of it. I was like, do I have to?
Technically, you're being paid for this.
Can I just go to bed?
Right.
But then they told me I was getting paid, so I have to be here.
All right, so we decided to do a panel on fandom, and I think the funny thing about Reddit is over time, we never really had much of a plan for growth. It just kind of happened. And one of the first things I remember seeing was that we started just kind of chipping away at all the gaming communities. Like they just started disappearing from the rest of the web and landing on Reddit. I think first question for you two would be, what does it look like the life cycle of a new community as they kind of appear on Reddit? Like, what are examples you can think of kind of interesting new communities that have appeared?
Anytime there's a new, like especially video game announcements, but video games, television, some movies, especially things like the Marvel movie, it is a gold rush to see who can grab like the most desirable, simplest subreddit name so that they can start that community immediately. I remember within 20 minutes of Avengers Endgame being released, there was a subreddit created for that movie. We see the same thing with video games. As soon as a new title is released, like E3 or whatever, someone has created that subreddit and they're accumulating the news there, and that is trying to become the place to go for that new IP.
Yeah, I think it was a Diablo Immortal.
Oh, that was within seconds.
Yeah, within seconds. Like,
we
like
were
the
ready
minute
for that one.
The minute that one was announced, like that subreddit was created like instantaneously.
Mm-hmm. I was in the room when that was announced at BlizzCon, and there were people on their phones just waiting to be the first to push the button on whatever that new announcement was.
Well, I think the one that I remember really was the Pokemon Go subreddit when it was created.
Yes.
And that case was actually more like that game always felt like kind of a sleeper hit. Like they were pushing it, and it was kind of like, oh, it'd be really cool. And so somebody had like camped the name like months before, knowing it was coming. And then it came out, and I think within like a week, it was actually the biggest community we had. Like, not even joking, like, it blew Ask Reddit out of the water, which at the time was the big one. And it got to the point where, you know, it went from basically 0 to 60 for that group, and the mods just reached out to us and were like, help.
Yeah, we definitely noticed that they were skyrocketing in traffic. There was a lot going on there, and so we were like, hi, how's it going? How you doing?
We're fine here. Hi.
Which is basically what we got back. And then we were able to talk to them about the traffic they were seeing. And we were saying, you are getting a lot of traffic from mobile apps. And so you might want to really think about how your subreddit is seen on the app, on mobile web, so that when people are coming to you, they can really get your information very quickly. And they were like, oh, that's really great. And so they really started working on making their subreddit better viewable like on mobile, so that everybody could get the information quickly, and that just helped it. I think that actually just pushed it even that much further.
Yeah,
it was a crazy amount of growth. I don't remember exactly what it was,
I think also the two things that Redditors like the most is new entertainment and complaining, and especially when
yes.
a game, like I think, you know, Pokemon Go was in that special combination of those two things where it was constantly down for the first 2 weeks. And so the forum was nothing but people complaining about it being down. Is it working for you? They had the spinner from the game in the top corner in CSS for a very long time, which is very fun.
Yes, that was a good one. The other subreddit that really saw a lot of crazy growth and kind of not in always a great way was for No Man's Sky, if you guys remember. Everything with No Man's Sky. If you're not familiar with that game, it's an exploration game in space. They promised almost literally the moon and stars. They really promised a lot in this game, and
pretty
I remember
moon and stars.
It was very literally moon and stars, and I remember thinking to myself,
it's
there's no
place.
Way.
There's not room for us both.
Yeah. I was like, there's no way this is going to actually happen. This is just not, there's no way. And sure enough, they didn't. And the community turned on them very quickly. Just not just on Reddit, but just kind of everywhere. It really
just
turned.
Pretty much in general, it was not a good time to be the game developers. And the subreddit at the time had one moderator who was trying to deal with all of this single-handedly. That is a lot for any one person to try to moderate effectively and to deal with just mentally. I mean, here's this thing you've been looking forward to, and circumstances completely out of your control have made it not any fun anymore. So we talked to him for a while, and what we ultimately came down to was he just needed a vacation. So he was like, hey guys, this has been fun. I did what I could, but I'm out. And for a while, I kind of took over and took some pretty basic ground rules in just to kind of get let everybody get it out of their system. We have very strong feelings about this game. We want to talk about it, but do it in a respectful way and don't bash each other. I mean, keep it fun. And we found some new mods, handed over them, and the subreddit's great now. It's been awesome to watch the turnaround, just because, for one thing, the game's gotten a lot better, so there's a lot less for them to complain about, but they've also got a really nice moderator team in that is doing a really good job.
They just recently took out a billboard right outside of the game developer's office saying thank you for this amazing game, and it was that subreddit that put together the collection to put that up together, which I thought was like the perfect little turnaround for that little community.
Well, and on top of that, not only was it the billboard, but it was this huge crowdsourced thing, and the proceeds beyond it were a fundraiser for the children's hospital in the town where the game developer's company is located.
You know, the other one I was thinking about recently was Chernobyl. Now that there's that big gap in HBO programming that happened,
and I can't imagine why.
I don't know why. It's like a hole that they're trying to fill. And
very dragon shaped.
So fill it with a mutated something.
Is that another disaster?
Another disaster. We had three distinct communities pop up all around Chernobyl. It was like Chernobyl
TV, and TV Chernobyl, I believe.
Yes,
and
that was a set.
Chernobyl had already existed. Chernobyl had been around for a while, but it was mainly...
We talk about Chernobyl, which was a thing that happened.
It was actually the historical thing. And then people kind of sort of began taking it over to be about the television show. And then other people started creating other communities. This is kind of the beauty of Reddit, is that if... there's a community for the thing that you like, and you're in there, and you're doing your thing, and you're like, you know what, this just isn't scratching my itch. This isn't quite what I want out of this community for this thing. You can go make your own. And so two other people created two more subreddits, the TV Chernobyl TV and TV Chernobyl, and they all kind of duked it out, like Hunger Games style, but they're all still standing, and they all kind of have very different things now. Like one of them is much more meme driven. One of the Chernobyl one, I think the Chernobyl one has kind of gone back to a little bit of a hybrid of TV and history, which has been really cool. And then the other ones are just like memes 9 ways from Sunday, because you can't have Reddit without memes.
And it highlights another interesting thing that happens when you have something that's existed in like one form, like Chernobyl as a historical event in a place, and now it is a TV show with the same title of trying to keep a community about a certain topic while still having a place to talk about the new thing that happens that shares the same name. We've seen that happen a couple of times, especially when, you know, movies and games get very similar titles, and that results in some confusion sometimes. We have it with one of our system subreddits. We have a subreddit called Bugs, and it's a place where you go to report bugs with Reddit. It's also a place where a lot of very confused people end up reporting, hey, this thing with 8 legs is in my shower, what is it?
Now, the funny thing about Bugs is that it actually posts in one of our Slack channels. Don't abuse that. We periodically get a picture of a bug just in our Slack channel, which is like, oh, that's kind of nice. Thanks for...
Yeah. Oh, what's a new bug? Oh, spiders.
Yeah, it's like... We should start actually answering those questions. Like, we should cross-post it and then plant that.
Yeah.
Send
that hand with the wastewater. Can we like file those on GitHub too? That would be great.
That actually would work out really well. Yeah. No, we could open tickets on behalf of these bugs. That'd be great.
Another terrible idea.
Yeah. Brought to you by a panel.
Brought to you by Reddit.
Well, you know, that brings up a funny thing, which is the communities that have to adapt to the fact that the format's changed.
Mm-hmm.
Right, like, I mean, there's Song of Ice and Fire.
Oh, Song of Ice and Fire. Yeah, I wouldn't know anything about that.
What's that?
Yeah, so A Song of Ice and Fire has been around, the subreddit has been around for 10, 11 years, and it was formed to talk about the books. Because there was a book series. There's still a book series we're waiting to get finished.
I can't wait to find out how it ends.
It's never going to happen. Never going to happen.
I have hope. I have a tiny amount of hope. That's all I have left. But A Song of Ice and Fire was the first subreddit. And then we had Game of Thrones. And Game of Thrones ended up being about the HBO show. But the moderators have had to be very, very careful because, you know, we have users who don't know anything about the books. They come to the show and people are discussing things that happened in the books that haven't happened in the show yet. There are people in the books subreddit who are talking about the show and about characters that aren't still alive in the show but are in the books. It's very confusing for everyone. So the mod solution was to build one of the most robust tagging systems so that you can go in there and say, I have read through this book. This is all I want to see. And you can go into A Song of Ice and Fire, and you can only see through the third book, if that's all as far as you're up to. Everything else is spoiler alert. Or you can go to Game of Thrones, and you can just talk about the show. And if you're talking about the book, and you're getting ahead of yourself, the mods will come in there and be like, that's not off topic for us. Go over here. And they've also spun off, like, four other subreddits, because there's one that's just for Game of Thrones memes, because the book readers aren't so much into the internet memes. They'd rather sit there and talk about their crackpot theories about how What's-His-Face is a merman, and we have so much evidence for it. That's all we have left, people.
It's the memes that keep us safe.
And relatively sane.
No.
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 Can't burn down everything.
The other really great thing about Game of Thrones is just like the partnership between that subreddit and between Reddit as a company. As the eighth season and final season was getting ready to begin, we partnered with the mods of A Song of Ice and Fire to create, how many subreddits did we create? Like 10?
Yeah.
I think so.
10 different subreddits for anyone who could possibly end up on the throne at the end. And there's Daenerys wins the throne and Gendry wins the throne and pretty much anyone who had a possible hope of sitting on the Iron Throne. We all got subreddits for them. You could vote on who you thought was going to make it. You joined that subreddit, and then you could all talk and meme to your heart's content on who you thought was going to win. And the Daenerys one now...
It's a support group.
Spoilers. Spoilers.
We have bonded through the trauma.
It's really the most popular one, I think, because I joined the bulk of them, but like my main ones were Daenerys and Gendry. I had that dark horse hope. Was looking for it. And the Gendry one has kind of petered out, but the Daenerys one has really just kept going strong. It really is just a support group for...
We're fueled by rage.
Yeah, pretty much. It's a good thing we don't have dragons.
It's the internet.
It's a good thing I don't have dragons.
Thank God. This is what I work with people every day. Every day.
Well, I think the other bit too is like, you know, the hard part with the internet is because it's so full of spoilers, what happens to the people who actually just got into the show that's been around for 10 years? Right, and so, you know, I think one of the few new features we've added on this has been to actually start creating packs. Like, basically put together, like, here's all the things about season one in a little cordoned off zone you can find and actually engage with that. Because it'd be neat to go in and have conversations with people who are also experiencing it for the first time, but not in a thread that's, like, 4 years old or 5 years old.
Yeah, and that can be really not fun for a new user to come in there into an existing conversation and realize, oh, I didn't know that there were spoilers here, and now I know what happens in every book from here on because one person just summed up in one post and I looked at it. The packs make it really easy, especially if you're trying to get your friend into something. You can just show them this, and it's like, here is your starter kit. These are the subreddits you need to go to for that thing you're interested in, and they're all geared towards your level of understanding about it so far. And if they're, like, I mean... The interesting thing is how many subreddits have, like, multiple levels of depth. You have the meme subreddits for it's like, I'm into this, I like making jokes about it, it's kind of fun. There's not a lot of deep discussion going on. And then you have, like, the main subreddits, like Game of Thrones, where people are talking about the episode. Some of it's meme-y, some of it's serious, some of it's joking. It's like, in-time reactions to whatever new content's being generated or news about the show. And then you get into the theories. And that's where Reddit gets a lot of fun, because you have users who are sitting there, and the internet has been wonderful since Lost came out for trying to figure out what is really going on a show. And the showrunners, they know this, and they keep feeding us extra things that will help feed these theories.
I mean, Westworld.
Yes, Westworld, they actually were on Reddit and were reading the theories just to help screw with their audience further.
And they succeeded, actually.
Very well.
Very well. Very well.
But both Star Wars and Star Trek have theories, theory-based subreddits, that are for discussing like the technological and the philosophical implications of the things that they know about this universe. For Star Trek, it's called the Daystrom Institute, and if you're familiar with Star Trek, it's a familiar name. And if it's for Star Wars, it's the, I believe, the Malm installation, and it's the equivalent, but it's about talking about the technological impact of Star Wars and how tactics might work in that universe, or how the economy might work, and they're all valid questions, but wow, they get into the weeds.
But that's kind of the beauty of the internet, and one of the reasons why I love kind of what Reddit has is this ability to, like, find your tribe and find the people who do want to go into the weeds with you, because my friends do not want to go into the weeds with me on, like, the stuff that I'm super interested in a lot of times, like, not with fandom, but I crochet 9 ways from Sunday, and I do all kinds of stuff, and none of my friends do this, and none of my friends really care about the new thing that I just made, but I can hop on Reddit, and there's a whole group of people that don't know me, but they want to see what I've done. And it's the same thing with fandom, is that, you know, now you have, like, my friends didn't watch Lost, but I watched Lost, and so now I had a group of people that I could sit there and go into what is the Hurley Bird, and why are the numbers a thing, and all of that. So, like, it gave me an outlet for that wasn't provided to me with my friends group, because they were boring. No,
it's
they're not
of
boring.
Like having,
they're really great.
You're this, like, brilliant friend who's watching the show with you in a lot of ways. Like, you've got this person you can actually kind of rely on to explain to you the thing you missed, or, like, catch all the little things that you didn't actually see, and then you get a chance to rewatch it and actually really enjoy it.
And sometimes it's like being able to watch Mystery Science Theater of your favorite show, because there are so many different contributors that their thing is doing, like, witty recaps of the show. There was one person in particular who used to do this for Game of Thrones, and it would take me about 2 days after the show, and they would do screen caps with just the best captions on them.
So
and it was an accurate retelling of the show, but it was so funny and so sarcastic, and it cut right through a lot of the silliness of those later seasons, and those were the highlight of the last season for me.
I mean, Free Folk is still going strong.
Oh, Free Folk will not be stopped. No, they will never be stopped.
They're Free Folk is a Game of Thrones subreddit where basically spoilers don't exist there.
It is a free-for-all.
It is literally a free-for-all. Anything goes. And so there's a little bit of conflict there between that community and the ones that are more the other Song of Ice and Fire and Game of Thrones subreddits where spoilers are very, very carefully guarded. They don't care. And so there is a little bit of tension there, which boiled up a little bit earlier this year when the actress who plays Daenerys has a charity, and Free Folk raised a bunch of money for the charity, and she made them a lovely Instagram video. She was so touched by how much was it they raised? Like $200,000?
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
It was a really large amount of money. And someone said, hey, I want the people in the Song of Ice and Fire to know about this. And they cross-posted it over there and said, hey, we're raising money. Do you guys want to come in and help? And because there's so much tension between those communities, that post got instantly removed. And lo, the, like, conspiracy theories began. You just want us to fail and you don't like us and blah, blah. It's like, no. It was just something we do.
Conspiracy theories on Reddit?
No,
that never happens.
Oh,
conspiracy theories on the internet never happen.
That's terrible.
On Reddit, even less so. And then, so it boiled up into this whole giant controversy, and then somebody was like, guys, no, seriously, we didn't mean it. This is what we do. It's just to keep everybody safe. And they're like, oh, okay. And then they approved the post, and that just got them more money into their campaign, and it ended really well. But it's one of those things, like, that's one of the other things that a lot of times does happen on the internet, as I'm sure everyone's run into at some point, where, you know, you do care about something so incredibly much that it becomes such a big, important thing to you that you kind of let it, you get ahead of yourself, and you really, like, kind of let it take over, and then cooler heads do finally, usually, prevail.
Well, and the most important part was it was easily solved by people involved directly talking to each other.
Talking
Shocker,
on the
I know.
Talking to people on the internet. Shocker. I know.
Well, the talking isn't the problem. The listening is the hard part.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much.
so I think, you know, it's funny too, because this reminds me of that line between, you know, basically conversation and, like, performance art that kind of comes up. I'm thinking of the snap. I'm, like, switching to Marvel.
The snapping. This is deep. I'm not really deep, but
it's deep enough.
Everyone's seen Marvel, right?
Everyone's familiar.
No, everyone's seen in-game, right?
Right. Okay.
Or actually, no, just need to see Infinity War.
It's Dragon Con. I assume that everybody's seen all the things, but you never know. You know the thing, snap of fingers, 50% of them go away. There was a subreddit created, as I'm sure you've seen some other people around here. Thanos did nothing wrong. Thanos was correct. 50% of the people needed to go away. This is it.
Resources.
And then someone got the bright idea, you know, the mods really need to be living up to this idea here. And they should ban 50% of the people in this subreddit. We have to preserve balance, you guys. And so they came to us and they said, can we do this? And at first we were like, oh God, because it was a very large subreddit. And we went, oh God, that might really kill the servers if you try to ban that many people. And then one of our devs went, I can do that.
This is the scariest thing you can hear come out of one of their mouths, too.
Yeah. And so he thought about it. He did some coding and figured it out. And then the day came for the snapping. I have never seen 60,000 people watch a Twitch stream of a console executing a script.
Now, in fairness, there was some really great Baroque music playing in the background of the console. You know, Creative Commons.
It was pretty great. But yeah, and when the time came and he executed the script, and it would put everyone's username as they were banned from the subreddit. And so people were literally, it was great too, because we peaked at 60,000 and people would wait until they saw their name and then they'd stop watching.
I know, I can.
So even then, like, we were still getting like the 50% drop just in this. I think we went down to about 30,000 by the time it was over. And then all of those people who were banned from that subreddit ended up joining another one called In the Soul Stone. And then if you were still part of Thanos Did Nothing Wrong, you weren't supposed to come into In the Soul Stone. It was private. It was just a really great storytelling way to, like, kind of continue that story into the real world and onto this site.
Again, while we waited for content to come.
Pretty much. And everybody, and the best part was we also banned 50% of the mods. And
Had to be fair.
And 50% of the admins who were in there as well. So, I got banned, and I was pretty excited about it.
Yep.
I was real excited about it. And then we made really great, we have trophies, and we made really great trophies for everyone. And some people actually got them tattooed on them. Like, they got their thing, and they ran off and got a tattooed on them. And I was like, wow, that's a whole level of, like, I don't know if I could do that, but.
That's some devotion.
It's actually, full story here. My avatar for a very long, very long time has been a Jedi alien. Which I just picked kind of randomly. And one of the very first tattoos that I saw somebody get was of my alien on their side, which is a really uncomfortable situation to have. Of, like, really, of all the possible aliens you could have picked, you put mine on you. Anyway.
That's a lot for you to live up to.
It really is. That's why I haven't left. That's not true. I can't leave.
He knows too much.
You know, speaking of things that are dead... Dead community or dead shows, right? I mean, like, I think I think what's astonishing to me is, like, speaking of somebody who still to this day wishes that Firefly would come back, as we think we all do. There's still alive on the internet and still actually pretty active, and it's pretty amazing to me.
Well,
Lost, for example.
Lost.
Well, Lost at least finished. That's what it stands.
We're not going to talk about that either.
We don't talk about the ending of Lost.
Most people don't like to talk about the ending of Lost. They like to yell and scream about it.
No, but the thing that I love is that even though Lost is gone, which is probably a good thing,
We've moved on to bigger and better things.
But that community is actually still incredibly active and still incredibly popular. And so people, there's a lot of, like, memes, again, memes are a big thing, and rewatches. So people will start, like, I'm starting at season one, here we go. And some other people will watch along with them. And so they'll do, like, like live, like commentary on how they're watching the show that day. They'll say, oh, you know, so-and-so is going to be on this TV show, let's all go watch it, or so-and-so is going to be in this movie, let's go check it out. So they're still supporting all those actors, even though they're not all in that one show anymore, but they're still supporting them in all their other roles.
But go ahead.
And then those actors also come in and do AMAs. I haven't seen any on Lost, but I think it was Gilmore Girls just had one of the actors come in and do an AMA there, and I think he went almost all day, and they were just so thrilled to have him. So it's really great to have those actors who have been in those shows that are now off the air still can come back into these fandoms that still really appreciate and love them and can't wait to see what they're up to now.
Battlestar Galactica is another great example. I mean, the Battlestar group here has been so active, even though the show ended a few years ago. And the subreddit still is, and they're constantly doing rewatches. Like, I think it's about every year they start watching the series again so that all the new people can get caught up with them, and it becomes like a really nice community building thing because all the new people come in and they're talking about the exact same thing as everybody who's been there for a while. Anytime that the actors are in something else or there's another Battlestar related project coming up, when Richard Hatch passed away, I mean, the subreddit just came together and was all talking about their stories with, I mean, my first Dragon Con, I had a great Richard Hatch story. He was just the kind of person that would build a community around him wherever he went. And he did that offline and online. They had a huge memorial for him.
So what are the best and worst fan interactions you've seen on platform?
I mean, worst. I mean, can we talk about the really bad AMAs that have happened?
That's what I'm talking about.
For Deep Redditors, Wyclef Jean. That one was... Look that one up. It's Dumpster Fire. We can talk about Rampart. That and there actually one of the other ones is Star Wars Battlefront.
Oh God.
So Star Wars Battlefront, EA game. Getting ready to come out.
It has this dynamic which you may have never heard of called loot boxes.
Yeah, and people were very excited about this game coming out. You know, it's a new Star Wars game, and it's a new IP, and everybody's really jazzed. And then they started talking about loot boxes, which are very controversial in the gaming community. You basically are paying money for a chance at something for your game. And it could be something really cool. It could be something really dumb. And you don't know, but you're still paying $5, and you're hoping you're getting something cool. Not super great. And a lot of the really good content for your characters, a lot of the good armor, a lot of the good things were going to be in these loot boxes, and people just went ballistic.
Well, ultimately, somebody did the math as to how much right. time and money you would have to spend to unlock Darth Vader, which was one of those highly desirable pieces of content.
They did the math.
Yes. And they did the math, and the math was not favorable at all.
At all. And so the community managers from EA came in to try and damage control very poorly. And the meme that came out of it was, we like our gamers to have a sense of pride and accomplishment upon playing their games. Because so apparently paying this amount of money is your pride and accomplishment because you managed to get Darth Vader after spending this amount of money. The community did not take this well, as you can imagine. It became the most, at the time, it was the most downvoted comment in Reddit history.
Negative 400,000 points. Which is I don't think we'd ever gotten past. I think the nearest to that was not even 100,000. So it really blew it out of the water.
It really did. And after that, I think they kind of retrenched a little bit. They went, oh, maybe this isn't such a good idea. And so they've rethought it and they've come back out. They're still doing loot boxes, but they've rejiggered it slightly. So I don't think it's going to be a gajillion dollars to get Darth Vader. It's maybe only like half a gajillion dollars. So
yeah, the Federal Trade Commission a couple of weeks ago.
Yes.
Yeah,
the FTC is not at all enthused with this whole loot box idea.
And the EU definitely is not.
The EU is also very not enthused. Oh, yeah. So
yeah, apparently giving money for a chance on something is called gambling, and it's regulated.
Really?
So this is a
discovery. It's also, children aren't allowed to do it. So that's a whole other kind of issue as well. That was definitely one of the worst ones.
But it's teen rated. Children don't play teen rated games.
It's impossible.
Oh, of course not. Of course not. Oh yeah, because that never happens ever. Yeah, no child has ever spent $1,000 of their parents' credit card on Smurf berries.
That's an oddly specific reference.
That was one of the first ones that came out. There was a Smurf game, and this is when it really started coming out that this was a problem, was there was some random Smurf game, and you could buy Smurf berries, and they made your Smurfs act faster, and so some kid, you know, was playing on mom's phone, which is what you do, and $5,000 later on the credit card, mom was like, excuse you? What have you done? And so that's why then Apple started adding in some of the friction into the process now, where it's a little bit harder for Junior to spend $5,000 of mom's money on Smurf berries. That's a lot of, I don't want to think about how many Smurf berries that was.
I mean,
that's a lot of Smurf.
That's a lot of time on a phone, more than anything else.
That's almost, I think, more scary than the actual $5,000, but that's beyond the beyond this panel.
Think of that child's feeling of accomplishment.
Pride and accomplishment.
I think Smurf berries were babysitting.
Smurf berries were definitely babysitting at that point, for sure.
Nintendo should use that as a way to sell more Switches. Don't let the kids play on phones.
Just do it on the Switch, it's better.
It only costs $4,000 on the Switch.
Yeah. I was trying to think of some of the really good ones, like some of the better ones. I love the random interactions that happen sometimes. Like Arnold Schwarzenegger randomly popped up on someone the other day. Somebody was posted, I think, in the Pix community saying that they had just gotten their citizenship and how proud they were. And he commented in like, "Oh my gosh, I remember when I got my citizenship. Congratulations! I know how proud you are because I was that proud." And like everyone freaked out because Arnold Schwarzenegger was there. I love the random interactions that happen. People pop up and
Peter Mayhew used to be wonderful at that.
He was very good at that.
I mean, again, it was one of those times when a celebrity passed away and we basically had like this online memorial because so many people had either interacted with him in real life or interacted with the roles he played or interacted with him on the site that they all came together to talk about those things. And it was just such a warm, fuzzy moment.
Will Wheaton used to be pretty active. Mm-hmm. And at one point he had this thing where every time if you said his name three times, he'd appear. Mm-hmm. And I don't know to this day how he did that, because we never had any feature that allowed him to do it. So he must have been probably reading everything, I think is the only way.
I don't know. I know he was doing that, but I think a lot of people also would username ping him later on.
That was before, it's before username pinging existed.
Yeah, I don't know what they were doing. It wouldn't surprise me if he wrote something to do that either.
Adam Savage chimes in pretty often in his videos too. He's a great guy. Don't try this.
We have writers and producers that will pop into the movies community. I think it's Daniel Abraham that works on The Expanse. He's pretty active in The Expanse subreddit. And also several of the behind-the-scenes people from The Orville, like the special effects guys, and I think one of the costume guys, they pop into that subreddit all the time. And it was really interesting because like when the show first came out, The Orville did not get great reviews when it came out. Like people were just waiting to bag on that show. And then when people actually started tuning in and watching it, the audience was like, this is a lot of fun. What's wrong with these reviews? And especially the second season really picked up, and you started seeing the crew come out and like interacting with the fans and thanking them for supporting them through all this. Same thing with The Expanse was when they had that season where it looked like they might not get picked up by sci-fi again. It was the fans that came together on Reddit and then through Twitter, and they staged a giant Save the Expanse campaign and flew a freaking plane with a banner behind it to try and get Jeff Bezos' attention so that he would throw some of that sweet Amazon money at them. And look what happened.
That's right, it was Amazon that picked them up.
Mm-hmm. We're gonna start questions. Yeah, let's do it.
Throw the box. Please don't hurt anybody.
Okay, so I looked at that. The little girl spent $1,400 on Smurf berries. If one bushel of 1,000 Smurf berries costs $60, then that little girl purchased 23,300 individual Smurf berries.
Again,
you did the math. If you ever want a really fun subreddit, by the way, r/theydidthemath is literally like people like, how many pieces of toilet paper are on a roll? These are the questions we need answered in our lives, people.
So, okay, I got two questions. First of all, how do I get a job at Reddit? And secondly, what's the creepiest thing you've ever seen on Reddit?
Reddit.com/jobs.
I think it's careers.
Careers, yeah. Damn it.
You should know this.
I should know this.
This is what we get when we change.
It used to be jobs. It used to be jobs. It used to be jobs. The craziest thing we've seen on Reddit.
Crazy, creepy.
You know, crazy, creepy.
Unusual.
I mean, that's my job every day. Like, part of the job of being a community manager is just kind of floating around and seeing what's out there. And the things I've seen. I can't even think of one. That's a hard one.
I think the...
For the record, I was right.
I'm going
to... Reddit.com/jobs.
One of the weirdest things I've seen was I was reading a story someone had posted to a local subreddit in the city I used to live in, and they were describing something their cat had done. And I was sitting there reading it, and I'm like, this seems really, really familiar, and I can't place where I know the story from. And I realized when I looked at the username, I knew the user because it was one of my old coworkers. And it was just the oddest thing because it was in a completely unrelated subreddit. It was not something I usually would have read, and it because it sounded like something his cat would do, and sure enough, it was his.
Two Redditors, one cup.
Yep.
Oh, God. One of my favorite things actually on Reddit, which is a little silly. I don't know that it's weird, but it's a little bit silly. There's a subreddit called Ouija. Was it Ouija or Ouija board? I think it's Ouija.
I think it's Ouija.
All of a sudden, I can't remember. And someone basically asks a question in the post title, and then everyone comments with one letter.
It's Ask Ouija,
you're right, yeah. And so then they comment with one letter all the way down, and so then you get, like, this crazy answer, but it's a crowdsourced answer, and you don't always know where anybody else is going.
And neither do they.
It's so Reddit. It's one of like, the weirdest things I've seen, and I really love the way that the community will play with each other that way.
Yeah, I'll choose to answer in the creative side because, like, there's just an infinite spiral of things we can talk about that we're not going to really go into. But, like, some of the great stuff is there's an entire community called Our Outside, and it's a totally fake MMORPG that describes real life. So basically, everyone in there pretends that real life is an RPG, and they act as if it's a perfect. Yeah, it's really well done. The graphics are spectacular. The
graphics are great, yeah.
But there's this whole, like, there's this cooldown mechanic where every, like, 16 hours you have to go to sleep. Like, it's really annoying. Another one that was really good is there is actually an entire, like, there's an entire role-playing subreddit where there's, like, a pretend town in, like, New Hampshire that everyone pretends to be a member of. And they all, like, it's like a totally fake community. And they just role-play the whole time. And, like, it's actually really entertaining. I gotta try and track down the name of that one.
That would be a good one. That would be a good one.
That sounds right. Have we met?
Yeah, that's right. Yep. Yeah.
Well, it kind of took my question. My question was, what's your most unique subreddit that you belong to?
Oh, that's a little bit different question.
It's a little bit different.
No, it's a unique one.
I don't belong to this one, but I've started just kind of, like, watching it here and there just because I think it's really funny. It's called In the Fridge. And what happened was someone made a comment, made a question in Ask Reddit, which is also a really fun community where you just ask questions and people answer them. And somebody said, what if our lives are just, we're all in MMOs, and the way you save your game is by opening the refrigerator. And that's why everybody gets up and opens the refrigerator, forgets what they're doing, and then closes the refrigerator and walks away. Mind blow, right? Like, mind explode. And I love that. And so then someone created a subreddit based off of this called In the Fridge. And so some of it is people posting pictures of their fridges and then people talking about, like, this is what happened and I just saved my game. And I love, again, this is that creativity that I really, really love and adore. The other one is called Watch Dogs Woof Inside, which is, it's a takeoff of Watch People Die Inside, which is when someone does something and then you see the embarrassment on their face. This is for dogs. And so one of them is, one of my favorite ones is this dog, and he's on a bed and he's got, like, a bag of potato chips and he's going to town. He's, like, ripping it apart and he's rutting around in it and he's like, I got potato chips and this is my day is great. And then, like, he's ratting around and then he turns around and he sees his owner with the camera and you just see his face go. It's the best thing.
Mine is probably, there's a couple versions of it, but r/gonk. And it is basically a subreddit for the appreciation of the best droids in Star Wars that aren't HK-47. They're little power droids with the little feet.
They look like trash cans.
Yes, well, they pretty much are trash cans, but they're wonderful trash cans. And it's a subreddit just for them because they are the best.
So I have kids, and one of the subreddits that actually gave me some sanity at one point when my son was very small was called "Fuck You, I'm a Toddler," and it's true to life. We used to joke he had two. He sorted things into two categories: things that he could push over and things that would push him over. And every toddler in that subreddit covered that. There's a newer one that's actually more populated, which is everyone here knows "Hold My Beer," which is drunk people doing stupid things. There's what called "Hold My Juice Box," which is equivalent construct of yeah.
Going back to the idea of shows that have gone off the air and people who try to keep them alive, anyone besides me remember Millennium?
Yes.
They went and wrote another season of the thing, and I think I still have a copy of it piled in a box somewhere. And second of all, as far as TV spoilers, I've been on Reddit for, I think it says 4 years, and am on something called Prime Timer now, which is the old Television Without Pity, which was...
Yes. I remember Television Without Pity. I love that.
Yeah, yeah. It was TWAP and then something else, and then they sold it again, and now it's called Primetimer, I think. Previously, .TV. And as someone who watches broadcast television and all the rest of this stuff, when I see it, it's on DVD, so it's 6, 8, 10 months, 5 years later. I consider it my responsibility to not be spoiled. Like, you know, you guys are talking about the Avengers movie, which I have not actually seen yet, but... And I know people are going to talk about it here. That's my problem. And so, same thing on you know, Reddit or something like that. I'm just not going to go out to those places where I might be spoiled if it bothers me to be spoiled. But then I might be a little more responsible than some other Reddit users.
That's very free folk.
I'm older than some people.
I'm kind of with you on that, honestly. Like, I definitely try to, like, stay... If I know I'm going to be spoiled, I try and stay away. Like, my somewhat guilty pleasure is I'm a big wrestling nerd, and I'm, like, really upset right now that there's a pay-per-view going on right now, and I'm here. But it's fine. I love you guys.
You'll get over it.
I'll get over it. But because it's filmed on Eastern time and then time delayed to the West Coast, the WWE's Twitter specifically will spoil the show... all the time. They just post live Twitter all the time, and so they spoil the show constantly for me. And so I just like, okay, I know that's happening, so I just remove myself from their Twitter. I also told them that I removed myself from their Twitter for that reason, so maybe they'll remember that the West Coast is actually the best coast. Don't at me. and, you know, be a little bit nicer to us, guys. Like, come on.
I'm much the same way as I stay out of stuff if I don't want to be spoiled, and if I'm there, I kind of expect to be, and it doesn't really bother me. But where I worry about it is people who, I mean, there are so many different ways to like look at content now. It's, you know, back in the dark ages of Usenet, you actually had to go and you had to look at the message and you had to click the title and go in there and actually seek the content out. You weren't having it sent to your phone or sent notifications or digests being compiled. There's so many different ways that content that ends up on Reddit could be reassembled and sent to you through different formats. That's like, we just want to make it as friendly as possible as we can to all those different consumers, whether it's someone who is browsing through the subreddit directly or someone who's looking at it in another way.
I'd say also, like, for the most part, a lot of the more popular communities, the mods just do a great job of making sure everything's really well tagged so that if it is a spoiler, it's going to be labeled as a spoiler. Where it gets really difficult is just that the spread of memes is so fast on the internet that you can just kind of guess on you can guess the spoiler by, like, what the next day's prevalence of memes was is relative. Like, the day after Game of Thrones, you just couldn't look at Game of Thrones memes. Like, I just had to, like, avoid them until I caught up.
Well, we couldn't look at them for very different reasons.
Yes, for different reasons. But it's just true for most, like, any popular show. It's, like, it's really hard to keep out of the loop anyway. And especially, you know, on Reddit where there's just going to be pictures appearing. Yep.
For some reason, this MMORPG is really difficult for some reason. It's always set on the hardest difficulty. Don't know why. But have you guys heard of r/subs that shouldn't exist, by any chance?
Sounds familiar. Like, somebody may have poked it at me at one point, and I haven't looked at it a lot.
It like, contains different subreddits that, like, honestly shouldn't exist, and, like, it explains itself, basically.
Okay. As we all grab our phones and run to the app.
Wait, is it subs or subreddits?
Subs.
What are some of your favorite Reddit minor conspiracy theories? I know Lisa's probably familiar with the time-traveling fetus theory.
Oh,
but,
yes.
What are some of your favorite personal theories?
Oh man, Game of Thrones in particular, just there were so many good ones and there were so many terrible ones. I think my kind of favorite one was that George R.R. Martin was just letting HBO write itself off a cliff so that his book would sell better in comparison, because everyone would be upset with the ending of the show. Not entirely sure that's a conspiracy, but I want to believe. I'm trying to think, there were some really good ones around Star Wars too, and Darth Jar Jar. How could I forget that? That was so bad.
That was
good.
So well
that's
done.
Not a conspiracy theory. That's just fact.
That's the theory that Jar Jar Binks is Darth. I don't know that.
Yeah, that's actually.
He's a master Sith Lord.
Right. Yes, he's a master Sith Lord. So, he was just hiding in disguise.
Going back to the kids thing. So one of the things my kids really like to watch was Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood. And there's an entire subreddit that I can't remember the name of, which is a conspiracy theory that Daniel Tiger in that show is actually a normal child, and it's all in his imagination. And the first time I heard that, I was like, oh my god, that's exactly right. So
have you ever encountered anything that really just makes you shut your laptop or turn off your computer? What?
Every day.
Yes.
Examples.
Every day. They're not safe for work.
Or panels.
Or panels, or life, or anything. I mean, that's the internet, right? Like, you are going to run into things that other people think are okay that really aren't. And that's my job.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing about the internet is that there's an entire subculture just around shock value. And there's a group of people who just seem to spend all their time trying to outdo one another and how shocking they can be. And the best thing you can actually do is to just kind of ignore them. Like, mm-hmm. if you feed, it's the troll feeding thing. If you feed the troll will come back for more food. If you ignore the troll loses his interest and goes away.
So, speaking of trolls, there was a particular subreddit that got quarantined. What does it take to quarantine a subreddit?
That doesn't ring a bell at all. I think in this case, I'll handle that one. I think that we've been iterating what constitutes quarantining over the years, just to kind of suit the needs of the site. A lot of the work over the last 4 or 5 years has really gone into making sure we have kind of enforceable policies that make sense and that actually fit what we need. And so, like, you know, adding things like a violence policy, adding things like augmenting our harassment policy. And so as we change our policies, we kind of reassess who's across what line and make sure that anything that is across the line is acted on accordingly. The thing with quarantine specifically, it's given us a chance to kind of think about a little bit of... one of the things we didn't actually talk about in this panel was actually the importance of culture. And that's actually what makes a lot of good communities succeed, is the fact that they have like a culture that is self-sustaining and that is actually bigger than any of the people involved in it. The community is the important unit, and the actual, like, the moderators play a major role in kind of wrangling and picking the culture, and the members of the community actually live the culture. And so when we quarantine, it's because all of those things are not working. Right? There's basically a toxic community, and there's a toxic set of mods, and there's a toxic culture, and it's all self-feeding. And the difficult part is to actually quantify that in a way which is not gameable. We don't often talk about a lot of our methods around banning or what we use to trigger actions that we do, because if we started releasing those things, now it's like this game of like counterintelligence. It's like, oh, they're clearly looking at this metric, which means we just have to make sure that we stay above 50% on some random thing. And then it becomes this kind of like cat and mouse game.
Or you have the guys who try to speedrun it.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
Yeah, I was in a panel today, yesterday, it all is a blur, where they were talking about social media and various, you know, the news and various things. And, you know, they just sort of mentioned Reddit in passing. And I'm not sure that anyone on that panel realized, maybe they're very well aware, but for instance, our politics, there's 5 million people on that. So some people think, oh, these weird little niche groups, these little cliques on the internet, it's like, Now, some of those are really big groups, and you know, when you have something with 5 million sets of eyeballs all in one place, you know, your advertisers and lots of other people are like, ah, ding, this is important and we need to look at this. So, because I mean, there's people out there who just think all of you on the internet are, you know, discussing cats.
I mean, I refer to, don't get me wrong,
cats are very important on Reddit, so.
No, I like to call Reddit the biggest little site no one's ever heard of, because, I mean, it's actually pretty huge. And there's another side of it, which is that because the underlying mechanic is this kind of pseudonymous, like there's a pseudonym and you don't really associate with yourself, nobody likes to admit they're on Reddit. So everyone wants to be like claim the joke that they read on Reddit as their own. And so you're always in the state of like, you know, here's our joke, and it's like, I know where you got that.
True facts.
So, I guess, you know, Reddit is this, you know, amazing community online.
I didn't do it.
But, I guess, who's your counterpart or competitor? Like, who do you guys look to say, okay, you know what, this is what we need to improve upon, or, you know, these people are doing it, you know, better than us?
I look to the community, honestly. I look to what... Hello. I look to what the community is looking for. I look to what my community is doing. They're who I'm making this site for. They're who I think we're making this site for, is for the community, the people who want to come in and become Redditors too. So what do they need to get into this community better? What do they need to understand how to become Redditors and become active members of this community? That's who I gear at, and that's who I look at. And so that's the most important thing. I can't speak for everybody, but I definitely don't look at anybody else. I just care about what my community wants and what they need.
Yeah, to kind of refine that, like we've for years we've built new products with the idea that our users are smarter than we are, or at least collectively they're smarter than we are. So our job is to kind of make, you know, tools and experiences they can actually build on top of, and then just kind of let them run with it, and then see what comes out of it at the end. I mean, when we, like, you know, simple example, like we let communities style themselves like 10 years ago as like a kind of an obvious, you know, keep yourself at home and make it feel like it should be. And just the sheer number of like crazy, beautiful things they made out of that simple little feature of like being able to style was kind of amazing. Even down to just the ability to write a post that is a link out to something else. Like the fact that text appears on Reddit and you can actually talk about it on site. Originally, it was a big link sharing site when we started off, and we just sort of said, like, hey, sometimes people want to actually, like converse on platforms, we should let them do that.
And then you went and added comments.
And then we went and added comments, and then it's been downhill ever since. That was 13 and a half years ago. So really, it hits peak in about, like, 2005, give or take.
Peak Reddit.
Can you guys talk about why some subreddits put karma thresholds on their subreddits?
The reason that I'm aware of, it's usually set up by moderators and automod, is that the intention is to kind of like keep the trolls at bay, would be the simplest way to describe it. Karma is kind of karma's a loose proxy to get like quality of the user. And so the intention is that if the user's actually gotten a chance to like get some knocks on the site, then they will be a reasonable, you know, if they have a little bit of karma, it means they're probably not going to be a jerk. The hard part is that doesn't bootstrap very well, right? So it's one of the things that's on us right now is trying to figure out how we can actually get a notion of a reputation on a new users that actually that will allow them to actually start to grow a little bit of reputation and like actually start becoming a member of a community in a positive way.
Yeah, it's often kind of a last resort choice by the moderator. Mm-hmm. If they have a small moderator team and a lot of new users that maybe don't read the rules for whatever reason, or are coming from another place that are intending not to read the rules, it's often like just one little tool that they can use to try and filter out people who might be there for the wrong reasons or to cause problems. It's unfortunately a lot of news users get caught into it, so hopefully we'll have some better solutions for that in the near future.
Anybody else?
You all know everything about Reddit. Good job.
Yeah.
What has been your favorite April Fool's Day event?
Ooh.
I have to go with our place, hands down. That was so much fun.
almost not fair because everyone loves.
It's
RPGs.
So much better than yeah. Awesome. It's been a high watermark. And it's been hard to actually compete with it. So for everyone who doesn't know, our place was this day where it was a week long event where we set up 1,000 by 1,000 pixel canvas, and we let every user on the site place 1 pixel every 10 minutes. And so
we played with it a little bit.
So in order to actually draw anything, you had to kind of collaborate with other people, or at least like work together. And we went into this really terrified of some of the things that could get drawn. And actually, overall, it turned like we built some tools.
We know the internet. You're going to draw some stuff.
Yes, there were things that would appear that would be rather rude to appear in front of people. But it actually worked out really well. Like there was a whole bunch of, it ended up being just like a survey of internet culture, a bunch of national flags. Like, it was really well done. I think other than that, the other one that, I think the button was my kind of second favorite one. So the button was a social experiment where we launched this button and you could click it. And you could only click it once. And we didn't explain any of the rules. And then we let it go. And the community just built up this entire mythos around the button.
Well, you're missing the part where there was a countdown. There was a 60-second countdown. And you didn't know what would happen when the counter hit zero. And so that gave you this urgency of, do I press it, do I not? What happens if I press it? What happens if I don't press it? What does it mean? I joined Reddit as a Redditor shortly after the button, and I'm really mad that I missed the button. Like, I'm really sad I missed that. My favorite, to hop a little, sorry, Lisa. It's not even so much an April Fool's project. We just did a run of a thing called RPAN, which is broadcasting. So streaming, basically. And we ran it for a
Reddit
week.
Public Access Network.
Reddit Public Access Network. We ran it for a week, just like, if we gave Redditors the ability to stream, what are they going to stream? Do you know what they streamed? Dogs, cats, ferrets. but then they also streamed, like, I'm walking around Berlin today. Here's what Berlin looks like after dark. I'm walking around Jerusalem today. This is what Jerusalem looks like. One of the best streams was a guy on a bicycle with his dog in a backpack, and the dog had goggles, and they were riding around with this dog in a backpack, and he got 30,000 people watching him ride around with his dog in a backpack. It was pretty great. I loved that, though, because it brought the internet back to me, to what it was when I joined the internet 20 years ago, which is just ordinary people doing ordinary things and just sharing that with the world. That to me is like what I think the internet is at its core and where it's at its best.
Yeah, there's no followers, no influencers, just a bunch of people being kind of derpy.
I love derpy people.
I can't follow this much wholesomeness because my favorite April Fools was Reddit Mole.
Oh, God.
That's my third. That was even that, yeah.
No, that was my favorite because
it was pretty good.
That was not too long after I made an account, I think. And the deal was that where Reddit Gold, you could give an award to a post that you thought was worthy of the privilege. Reddit Mold, you could award mold and show that you had been molded. And you would eventually have letters taken away from your use.
You would, it would degrade the user experience. It's got more and more
molded.
Yeah. And so I think we'd start, we would remove like the letter E. Like, I think it was like a, yeah.
I think, wasn't it like an order of frequency? Because it was like EST or something along those lines. Oh, it was great.
You would like that.
Yes, I would.
I'm curious, with regard to a little election that's happening next year, how are y'all planning to handle just crazy information going viral and people getting crazy about our politics and news and how do you address that?
I mean, we had a dry run of that in a little election that happened a couple of years ago. In fact, I mean, you know, the thing with, so one aside here is that when the founders apparently originally created the election system, they thought that it would be a small like period of elections between government, and instead it's become a small period of government between elections. So like, you know, we just came off of an election last year. We're already thinking about an election next year. We've got teams that are basically dedicated to doing threat analytics and trying to keep track of us and everyone else and figure out what's going on and what's authentic and what's not. And it's just a, you know, it's a bit of a I think it's right now it's about, it's like 20% of the company actually. We're still a small company, so it's but it's a good check of people who are dedicated to not just the election, but also just general kind of site integrity, like security, making sure there's no hacking, making sure everything's above board. Because you know, honestly, the one thing I'd say is that what is most important to us is like we are a site that's based on votes, and so there's an underlying integrity of the vote that's been very important for us for like more than a decade, and so it's just kind of building on top of that kind of reflex.
And I think we're out of time.
Thank you, everyone. This is great.
Thank you, everybody.